Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Well, I just got done crying with my ex because now that we're not together, you know, sometimes it feels safe for people. His was vulnerability or sadness and hurt repression. So when we were together, we cried together once. I was leaving and he finally expressed how much that hurt, but he had been angry up until that moment. That was the only time that we cried together. And so why is that important? Because, well, I'm an anger repressor and sadness and hurt have always been available to me. So when you're in a relationship and you can't feel and express, or you feel like at first you can't feel and express an emotion that's always been there, that's challenging. Well, I didn't suppress my sadness and hurt after about, well, somewhat into the relationship. It was my anger that was repressed my whole life. And it was this relationship where I came out of anger repression, as I've explained. But what I'm saying is that because he had sadness and hurt repression, that those emotions, although much easier for me, would be met with, while we were together, with resistance. Now, when we're not together, because there's this safe distance, and I suppose he feels safe, he and I will cry together, which is what we just did, about us, about people who have died close to us. He and I have a lot of history. People haven't even heard the stories, but the 7 years that we were together, someday I'll have to put it in a memoir. It was crazy. I mean, we were traveling up and down the California coast in an RV, meeting all kinds of characters and getting into all kinds of interesting situations. But so when you have that kind of connection with somebody, and this was the first person that I felt like, because I was avoidant my whole life. Every time I would get into a relationship, I couldn't open up. And with him, it felt like I love him. You know, I'd never had that kind of relationship before. So I was too afraid. And I just went all in because of this work. This work is what allowed me to reach out to him. He was many years younger, kind of a little bit out of my league, maybe a lot in some people's eyes. That's how I perceived it, because he was younger and I was very attracted to him. So we got together for 7 years and all that stuff happened that I've shared about. Like, he was angry because hurt and sadness repression. I was the peacemaker in the beginning. I came out of anger repression. By the end of the relationship, I could feel and express all emotions and express all my needs. And the relationship ended because I wanted it to. And it was a clear stop for me. So nothing about the relationship or how it ended feels regretful. It feels like that was the thing that needed to happen. And I don't want to be with him. That's clear too. But love is love. And I know you know this. There's nothing that you can do to erase love. You can suppress certain feelings of hurt or sadness or anger. But when you love somebody, all of those feelings are there. You know, again, if you don't repress them. And they don't go away. For me, they don't. I still have love for my first husband. Excuse me. In a way, Chester and I, this last relationship, were perfect for each other and also not good for each other because we were shadows. I was the quintessential non-duality teacher who never got upset. And he was the BPD person who would get upset, angry. He couldn't show much empathy because of his buried hurt and sadness. I had an empathy overload because of my anger identification and spiritual work. I wanted to talk about vulnerable things. He didn't, or it scared him. He wanted to. He wanted to get angry at me. I didn't want to get angry back at first. So just truly opposites. And so that kind of relationship could have ended with a lot of suffering, but it actually ended with transformation because of this work. Now, what's interesting is post-relationship, because again, my whole path is authenticity, because that's what's healthy for me. That's what ends my suffering. I had the whole spiritual path wrong, in the sense I was focusing on awareness because I couldn't allow it all with buried anger, even in that awareness recognition. So I worked with the buried anger, as you guys know here. So I did not work, and I want everybody to understand this, despite the fact that I can emote, and if you lived with me, you would understand this, I can emote sadness and hurt. Anger was really challenging for me my whole life. So I had to focus there in order to feel the real sadness and hurt. The people who don't do anger repression work don't understand this. If you're identified with sadness or hurt, you're staying safe from the buried anger. But if you process the buried anger, you'll find the real hurt and fear of hurt. The real stuff is buried because you're protected from ever feeling that. So an anger repressor really is a repressor of the more vulnerable emotions also, but not predominantly. And what the anger repressor like me finds is something very vulnerable when we go through the buried rage, which is unmet needs. There is nothing to me more vulnerable than that. Not even vulnerable emotions like hurt, because there's just so much fear with our needs. And we're trying to get them met, and we don't want to face that we have them. We're unconscious to them. They weren't met when we were kids. We're angry or hurt and afraid. We buried it with these needs. At the end of the relationship, here came these needs that had been buried with the anger for years. It's life-changing, completely life-changing, because that's when the tears came, when the authenticity to say, you know, the love, because I had all the emotions online with those needs. I could express everything. I could express, I have a need for safety that's been there. I've been in repression. I've put that on you. I've had a need for love. I've been an anger repressor. I needed your love. I needed you to get better. I therefore wasn't focused on us. I was focused on not feeling this anger that I had for you because you weren't getting better. And you kept going downhill. And that was my codependency. You know, I needed to leave you alone. Because the kind of love that I was giving you was coming from, at least the first part of the relationship, from a fear of feeling stuff. And I just didn't need to be focused on you. But when we were together in the beginning with my buried anger, I had to focus on you. And he knows that through the relationship, I had to take care of my needs and stop focusing on being the loving mirror that I had always been with people, because he understood and saw that my codependency was the reason that I had suffered. The chronic nerve pain that he saw every day, he understood that it was my buried anger. He went through the whole process with me of coming out of repression and watching that pain dissolve. So he knows me. And like when you know somebody like that, even if you're not together, you know somebody like you know yourself. And in some cases better, because when I had anger repression, I was focused on him. So I knew a lot about him. But since then, with repression work, I've discovered me, the true, authentic, what I really am, the embodied me. That just changes everything, because even post-relationship, I still have the same boundaries. I still have the same clarity, and I still have the same emotions, because I'm not trying to suppress anything. And this is new territory. Because as an anger repressor, I would just disconnect from people if they hurt me, or to protect myself from it. If I had a challenging partner relationship, I would just somehow get out, and I would never really talk to the person again, because there's pain there and I didn't know how to process it. Once I could process the buried anger, I got to my pain and I was no longer suffering at all, because feeling emotion is not suffering. What suffering is holding it back and then identifying with things that are false and trying to survive in a relationship from that falseness. Being able to feel everything is fullness, even post-relationship, because now, you know, in the beginning, when we broke up, we had space from each other, which is healthy. We also have a lot of history, and we wanted to be in each other's lives. And I knew that that was going to happen. Please, you know, like this person, if you only knew the way that we are together, like when I go into a restaurant, I'll think, well, I've been here before, but I can't remember whether I was here by myself or with Chester, because when I'm with him, it's like so comfortable. Like he sees everything. He knows everything about me. Have you ever met someone or known someone like that? There's no trait that I have that he doesn't know about. There's no odd eccentricity that I have, eccentric behavior. There's no fetish that he doesn't know about. And, you know, when you have a relationship with someone like that, even if you're not in a romantic relationship, that's a very open, loving, unique relationship. But I don't want to be with him. And I know that. So that's what's so interesting about it, because instead of disconnection, there's connection. And as long as there's boundaries, there's no reason for that connection to break. Boundaries. That's the key. And so that's what we're going through now, is like another set of boundaries. And I'll explain, because I think it's helpful for people to see that disconnection is not the only way, and that authenticity and boundaries
is that my
can keep
happiness
you connected with
comes
people
first.
Who you otherwise
so
would have.
Somebody with buried anger
see,
who's codependent
not pain anymore.
Can never
not
really
suffering.
Say that.
So why should
if
I
they
disconnect
say it, they don't
somebody?
Really mean
he's
it.
Not the cause
because
of
you have
suffering.
Conditioning that says, I have to take care of them.
I'm an emotional being.
I have to stay safe, get love.
I allow it all.
So we codependents will lie
so then
in order
to connect
to love,
with the people that I love.
We'll say,
if there's no,
no
suffering,
I'm not taking care of anyone. Just, I'm just being.
That's
space
just
for them.
Makes sense.
It's not true.
Because there's no suffering. The
and
reason
until
I
you
disconnect
go into your
is
body,
because of my
see.
Suffering.
It's a hard
it's
truth
just
to
that
learn.
Simple.
But the,
it's like
the
I
most
don't,
peaceful, helpful,
you know, I don't want to hurt
kind.
People. I don't want to punish them. I don't want to disconnect to
people
get back at them.
Are raging.
Prove that I'm doing well. I
and
don't play any of those fucking games. I just love him.
I stand by that. And all you have to
and
do is take the repression
happy,
test at repressiontest.com and you'll find your buried
with
anger.
That. Because it's true. I actually want him to be happy.
But here's I needed, the catch so with that. People with buried anger who are codependent or buried hurt, they do not put their happiness first. In fact, you don't meet people with buried anger who are happy. I wasn't happy. I am now. And the reason I am is because I finally allowed all my emotions. There's joy. I had buried anger. I had to allow it. Once, so here's the thing. I need to be honest even about the breakup, because the codependency in me in the past would have wanted to say, well, it was mutual. It was just what was good for us, you know, spin it for the public. And truthfully, there's nobody to blame. That is not a spin. I can't sit here and say it was him or it was me. Every relationship is two. But my perception is, and that's all I need to do is speak for myself. I don't need to take care of him. So I'll just speak for myself here. My happiness first. I didn't think that that relationship should go on another day in the form that it was in. We were living together, but I was coming out of codependency. So the idea of taking care of somebody to get their love was over. And he knew that, and he saw how I was changing. And that was probably difficult for him, but it was also over a period of time. But he wasn't, in my view, doing the deep work that needed to happen for us to have a different kind of relationship. So as coming out of repression, I was ready. This is my perspective. I was ready for intimacy and an even better sexual connection and a deeper love. But he was in a different place, really. I think he would agree. So it just needed to end. It was the best thing for both of us. But the love doesn't end, as you know. But when there's pain there, you know, we can like compartmentalize it. I know that that's one of his patterns, and I've done that too. It's like if you really, really love someone, just move on, disconnect. But truthfully, that pain will be there forever. I know that from this work. So if I were to have left him without processing the anger, the hurt, the sadness, the fear, then I would have suffered potentially with diseases or brought that to the next relationship. So with this relationship, because it was so important and it was the big one, a big one for me, I have not wanted to leave this relationship unless it's clean. And even though I left the relationship, we chose after months to reconnect. But as friends, we gave each other space, which I think was good. I hope that we're being honest with each other, though. And I have been recently, because at first, I think I was being honest, but not fully, completely honest, because I had to process a few things. It's a different relationship. He has a boyfriend now. And whether that will end up being the thing for him is beside the point. He and I can't be together, for me, in that kind of relationship. Like, if we had an alternate reality, I've envisioned this, where, like, we could live in different places and we could have to have a better intimate relationship. Because sometimes when you're living with people, the unexpressed, unfelt emotions start to affect the intimacy and the sex. And I don't want a relationship like that that's emotionally dishonest. And then that starts to get into the way of intimacy and sex. And that's what was happening. So in an alternate universe, it would be like, well, we live in different places. There are really strong boundaries. We value each other. We work on cultivating a safe space for that intimacy. And we enjoy each other in a really beautiful way in our relationship. No, that's not reality. So that's not a pipe dream. I don't fantasize about that. I literally just said that to explain my heart. But I live in the reality of my own emotions and the relationship as it is, and not in fantasy. And so I'm just watching from my own presence, my stuff and his, and making sure to not fall back into old patterns. So when we started to talk after the relationship ended, you know, 4 months later, the first thing that I felt when I found out that he was dating someone was happiness and relief. First thing, happiness for him, because I knew that he needed a better social network. He has friends around him now that are not gay and that support him in different ways. And he has a boyfriend, and he's going to recovery meetings. So this is all good for him. It has to be really good for him in some way. At the same time, you know, that's the first thing that I felt. And then as we started to talk with each other, you know, he even said, you know, you don't stop loving someone. So we acknowledge that we love each other. Well, that's interesting because we're not together. And so we have to redefine the relationship, and there has to be boundaries. Because if we're not going to be in that kind of relationship, cultivating that kind of intimacy, which is actually what I wanted with him, there have to be boundaries for me so that I can move on, and so can he. And I don't know if he's clear enough to have those boundaries for himself so that he can have this relationship with this new person. He needs to be able to have that.
Well, my ex was in that stage availability with his new partner, or
unavailability is a real thing.
I don't think he knows whether this is going to be a long-term relationship.
And if we could feel, so he needs to build
trust and
that was true to each for each other,
even now.
So I kind of understand.
He would be able to find his
ex's patterns.
And I somewhat think about that. Well, first of all,
able to feel and express everything, but it's not my business.
He has to have his own boundaries for himself.
I'm just feeling and expressing everything.
If he's going to be available for his new partner,
he has to make sure that there's nothing.
My happiness
between even post. Break
that would stop that.
So,
and although I don't want that either, I don't want that for me.
See, the codependency is like, well, I don't want to do anything to mess you guys up. Bullshit. It's, good God. That's like the codependent. Always trying to take care of other people. No, let me see how I feel here and I'll get back to you on that. And that's what I did, because we were texting after a lunch. And what really felt true for me is that, you know what? If you and this new guy have issues, I'm a friend. I can be a friend. And that felt true. And I texted that to him. And I sat there with it for 2 days. And we started talking about other things that had nothing to do with that. A bunch of other things. And then I went back to that text, and it had already set in my consciousness for a couple of days. I woke up one morning. What came up is, but is that what I, do I need to do that? Do I need to be, what is that, that I have to be a friend for him? And let me explain that.
See, my whole life I've played that role of helping others and taking care of others' their feelings. I became a teacher. Even in 12-step, I was helping people. But as a teacher, I'm always helping other people with their suffering have a better life and a better relationship. And when he and I were together, he didn't really want to hear this teacher stuff. Now he's interested in a way that could help him in his new relationship, because I think they're going to have issues, and maybe he sees that they're both hurt repressors. They might argue or fight. I don't know. But he did say to me at lunch, no, I want you to, or in the text, I want you to tell me things because, you know, I value that or something. Well, then I sat with that. Okay, so it's okay for me to be the teacher friend. I don't think I want to. I don't think I want to be the teacher friend. I don't think that I want to, like, help you become a better person to be with someone else. And even though that might not sound very enlightened, it's true. I don't care if it sounds awakened. I'm tired of that. That's what made me suffer, is not feeling what's true for me. And then I started crying. I was alone and I was just crying and I couldn't sense why. Am I in love with him still? Not in the way that you want to be with someone, not the longing kind. But for me, because of the repression work, I can't erase love. I don't know how to do it. So those tears were the love, but also not just love for him, but love for me. Because I started to look at me, so I'm going to be the teacher friend who helps you every time you can't find your own authenticity in relationship, which is why you and I couldn't. Like, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't want to do that. You know, you can go find that help somewhere else. And then, so no teachering, because it's hard on me. I'm just telling you how I feel. It's hard on me to always want to take care of people without taking care of me first. It's like physically hard on me. I've had diseases because of it. Buried anger. What's interesting is that I find my voice with him without anger. I mean, I know what I want now. I just have to feel whatever it is. It's not always anger. Sometimes it's a deep hurt and sadness, not even for the loss of the relationship, but of the loss of me. All those years of, you know, taking care of other people. And not being able to feel exactly what's true for me with those people. And now that I can, it's like I can clearly say to him, and then I said to him, here's how this feels for me, is I always wanted you to do better. Because when you weren't doing well, even though I had this work and I wasn't suffering, we weren't doing well as a relationship. I just kept processing and feeling more and more open to feel and express everything. But it felt like in our relationship that you were getting further and further away. And the last part of our relationship felt like starving in a way for simple intimacy and lovingness, loving, love. Even though the love was there, there were things that were happening. A lot of stuff on his side that was outside of the relationship, even family stuff. I have a lot of compassion for that. But I've had so much fucking compassion my whole life, waiting around for other people to finally see that I love them, and waiting around to see that it's more important for me to love myself. You see, I don't want to have a reality where he's not in it. although I could, I know I could process that. It's not a fear of losing people that lies at the core of things for me. It's really not even fear of anything big happening. It's like, well, except that I don't live the life that's true for me by in any way taking care of other people. I do it every day as a teacher, but do I want to do that in a close friendship? Not really, because it never gave me connection in my relationships to be codependent, which means to not feel and express what's true for me and make my happiness be first. So I don't know the answers, and I even told him that I don't know the answers. I think he should take care of himself, but that's not my business. I used to make those kinds of things my business, like their feelings. And I wouldn't even know the next step if I didn't allow my feelings. I know that now. So although I don't know the next step, I trust authenticity because it builds trust. And until I could say this to him, that I don't want to be the teacher friend, because that's not good for me, even if it's good for you. I don't know what the answer is. I don't have an answer. What that feels like is just presence. You know, that's all it is. I don't have to have an answer because I've allowed it all. And I've expressed it here too. I expressed it to him. I express it here. And that's what repression work does, is it helps you embody what you are. And you don't have to have an answer for everything. How could we? The future hasn't happened. Don't have to know how things are going to turn out. But at the same time, I've used that to avoid real feelings and non-duality. Like, oh, whatever happens is going to happen, as a way to not feel what I actually feel now. But I can feel what I feel now. So it's a more embodied presence. It's not trying to not feel something. I'll keep you updated to some degree. I want to leave you with this. Because that relationship, I didn't experience the depth of intimacy that I was looking for. I really want that. So when I look at the world, whoever that is, there's no face on that person yet, or people. But there has to be a working towards intimacy for me. I understand people are afraid of it. I live my whole life afraid of it. Intimacy is just authenticity for me, like being able to open up fully instead of disconnecting around things, which provides a safe space, because boundaries and expression come through that too. A safe space to be intimate, including sexually, but it's so much bigger than that. That's the only thing that I know. Speaking of, I don't know what's going to happen, because I trust myself, my experience. And so it's not just not knowing, and also in the way that it used to be for me, like just be present and not know. Because when you're connected to your body, you know what you want. You know what you don't want. And that's different. Because then you don't just walk into things blindly without boundaries, without expression. You don't stay in things just to get love if there's something that you have to say. And that's where I'm at, is discovering what's true for me. It's brilliant. It's the only thing we can do in life, is to discover what's true for us and feel and express it. There's a link in the description for anybody who wants to start doing this work, processing whatever your buried emotions are, and working on these relational patterns directly from the root of them. So I have a jumpstart group every month. It starts, so the April 1st will be the next one. Click on the link. You can sign up. Nothing else you have to do to join that. And then if you want a one-on-one program, which is preferred, and my 90-day intensive is way preferred, but we have, for people who need financial assistance, we do have a scholarship program. If you're interested in one-on-one, click on the link, scroll to the bottom. There's a free call with me. Come talk to me about it, and we'll find out which program fits. Thank you.